The Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, our gospel text this morning was a familiar one to me when I was in junior high. I should tell you that I was always really active in my church youth group growing up. I went to every church youth summer camp, every retreat, every spring break ski trip, you name it. I was there every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night. I was often the first one there and the last one to leave. You see, I have loved the church since as long as I can remember, and I have always wanted to serve it, and I've always wanted to serve it well. I remember this scripture during my youth because it was taught to me and my peers as an example of what discipleship looks like. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee when he sees two brothers casting their nets into the sea, and he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, the scriptures say, they left their nets and followed him. Later, Jesus sees two more brothers, calls them, and the scriptures tell us that immediately they too left their nets and their father, and they followed him. The word that always stuck out to me as a youth was immediately. These two separate sets of brothers don't stop to evaluate the risk. They don't think about what will be lost. They don't even wait to put up their nets or to secure their boats to the dock. They don't even take the time to say goodbye to their father. They immediately leave what they had and where they were to follow Jesus. Discipleship, I was taught, looks like this. Discipleship, I was taught, is about making a hard but a definite choice. It's about choosing once and for all to follow. It's about not calculating the risk, not evaluating what's lost, because Jesus doesn't give you time to think about it. You're either in or you're out. If you have to think about it, then you must be too selfish, too cowardly, or too worldly. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, I was taught, were heroes of the faith because they showed us all what it looks like to follow the way that we all should. They sacrificed everything to go after Jesus. They left it all, no questions asked, no backward glances. They just dropped what was in their hands and followed Jesus without saying a word. Well, this really troubled me. And my hunch is, if I were to preach that message this morning, it might trouble you too. For me, it forced me to think about whether or not I even had what it took to be a disciple. The truth is, I loved my family, I loved my friends, and I loved my life, and I wasn't sure that I could give that all up if Jesus asked me to. I wasn't sure I could get up and leave it behind without saying goodbye, and so growing up, I dealt with guilt because I thought that faith was all about sacrifice, and I didn't want to sacrifice the things that I loved. So I would pray every day that my faith would increase so I could be more like these brothers, these heroes of the faith, who immediately followed without hesitation. I wanted so badly to be like them, but it just seemed almost crazy impossible to do. Crazy impossible. And it is crazy impossible to do. Crazy impossible, just like the 18 miracles Jesus performs throughout the Gospel of Matthew. Like when he calms the storm, feeds the 5,000, walks on water, heals the lepers, gives sight to the blind, and so forth. You see, I've since come to realize that this crazy, impossible text where four men leave it all to follow Jesus is a miracle story just like all the others. This story is as full of God's power as the feeding of the 5,000 or when Jesus gives sight to the blind. Let's take a moment and listen to some of these scriptures. "Be made clean," Jesus says to the leper, and immediately he was made clean. "Stand up, take your mat, and go to your home," he said to the paralyzed man, and the man stood up, and immediately he went home. "Go, your faith has made you well," Jesus said to the blind man, and immediately he regained his sight. "Follow me," Jesus said, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Did you hear it? When Jesus encounters these four ordinary fishermen, something immediately and miraculously happens. This is not a story about the willpower of human beings who have the discipline and heroic courage to follow Jesus without asking a question. This is a story, rather, about the power of God. The power of God made manifest in Jesus, who walks right up to four fishermen and works a miracle. He creates faith where there was no faith before. He makes disciples out of four ordinary fishermen who were not disciples just moments before. Because let's get real for a moment. According to the Gospel of Matthew, these four men didn't even know anything about Jesus. They never met him before. They didn't know who he was or claimed to be. He was a stranger to them. And to add to this peculiarity, it was never even heard of in first century Judaism for a rabbi to seek and call his own students. Students sought rabbis. Teachers waited for students to come to them, and there was an application process. They were interviewed carefully before they were chosen. No self-respecting rabbi would ever have sought out his own followers. And so it just seems to me that this story has all the trappings of a miracle. It just doesn't make sense any other way. You see, I've since come to learn that my intuition as a youth that this text just seemed crazy, impossible to do, is actually true. Because the truth is, it is a miracle story, and miracles, by definition, are crazy impossible. This is not a story about us as human beings who need to find the courage to sacrifice and follow. It's not a story about us people who need to decide whether or not we're willing to drop our nets and to move on without question. This story is about God. It's about God's power to not only call us, but to create us as people who are able to follow. Martin Luther once wrote, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or even come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me, enlightened me, sanctified me, and kept me in true faith." I remember the first time that I read that. I wrote it on a sticky note, and it's been saved to my desktop ever since. It resonates with me because there are times it does just seem crazy impossible to follow Jesus, and that's when I remember that it is. And it's a miracle that God has made me and all of us able to follow, that God has kept us each in the faith. This story, again, is not about four courageous fishermen who sacrificed all that they had to follow Jesus. I think to read it that way really doesn't do us any good. If anything, it paralyzes us who often wonder if we could measure up to these heroes of the faith, when in reality, don't you know that we aren't to read the disciples as though they were heroes of the faith? They were ordinary people, just like you and me. They were less than exemplary. They were fishermen who didn't pass the interviews. They didn't have astute scriptural knowledge. They showed no promise for future leaders of the faith. So the only explanation, then, is that these four men did no such heroic thing that day on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It was God who acted, not them. If they did anything under their own power at all, it was simply that they allowed themselves to fall in love. Yes, discipleship is costly. And these disciples, as we know, gave up a lot in that moment, and they would lose a whole lot more in the days that followed. But that is not the aspect of this story that we should focus on or teach our youth. Because truth be told, faith is not just about human choice. Faith is also about the miracle of God to call us into faith and to keep us in the faith. Faith is about the miracle that God would make us able to follow. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John encountered God miraculously that day. And in that spirit-filled moment when God turned their hearts to follow, something happened. Their lives flowed in the same direction as God's life. Where there was once four wills, there became only one. Barbara Brown Taylor writes that the kingdom comes every time our lives are brought into the same flow so that we too allow ourselves to fall in love and follow God. If this story is no longer about the human will to leave everything behind, but about miraculously being swept up into the flow of God's will, then I think it becomes much more powerful and much more applicable to us all. Because what it means to follow Jesus means something different for each of us. Sometimes following may mean staying at home and taking care of children. It may mean leaving your home to be a missionary overseas. It may mean tutoring children after school or simply being kind to the lonely man you see in the grocery store. It may mean teaching theology and ethics to students or providing health care to those in need. It may mean preaching from a pulpit or offering legal advice to those in need. The possibilities for following are endless. They don't all look the same. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John are not blueprints of discipleship for us to follow. Friends, it's just simply a mistake for us to focus too much on our own parts in the miracle of discipleship, because it is only by the miraculous and immediate work and grace of God that we are even able to follow. What a miracle. Amen.